Today's here in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Gimel. We begin about 8-9 lines from the top with the two dots with the words Tonu Rabbanu. We continue to learn for the safety of all of the Chayalim, Kochos HaBitachon, the Shotrim, all the Yentis in Eretz Yisrael who are putting their lives on the line for us. Hashem should watch over them and keep them safe, and their work should be successful. We should continue to see the return of hostages every day, B'ezus Hashem, until they're all fully returned, healthy and safe. And B'ezus Hashem, all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have Refuah Shleima. All those in need of Nechama should have Nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we pick up with the Gemara again, 9 lines down from the top on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph with the words Tanu Rabbanan. We quote the following brisa, Tanu Rabbanan. Pa'alim Shabbo Litboa Sucharim Balabais. You have workers that are going to go and collect their wages from the Balabais that they worked for. So you have workers that finished their day's work. The din is you have to pay the workers that very day. So they go to collect their wages from the Balabas. Now, they're in the Balabas' house. Unigachan Shoro Shabalabais, and the axe of the Balabais gores them while they're there in his property. Unishachan, or alternatively, the dog, Nishachan Kalbo Shabalabais, or the dog of the Balabais goes and bites them, and Umes, and Nebuch, they pass away. So what's that lacha? So the Gemara tells us, Potter, the Balabais is not required to go and pay kofar in this situation, albeit the Bach has the words over here that while the Balabais is Potter from the kofar, mikol makom hashar hu beskila. The shar or the kelev would be required to be niskal because, after all, it did go and kill somebody. Now we'll have to explain why the balabas is not chayiv the kofar in this situation. However, the acherim omrim rashoyin poalim with both scharim balabais. The acherim holds that the poalim have the right. The workers have the right to go and demand their wages from the balabas. As a result, the balabas would be chayiv kofar. So we have machlokas here between the Tanakama and the Acherim. So the Gemara says, Hechidama, what exactly is the scenario that we're talking about here? Under what circumstances did the workers go and enter into the balabais' house? If the balabas is found available in the town, in other words, they didn't have to go to his house, they could have easily gone to the other places in the town where he hangs out and collected their wages from him over there. So then, my time with the Acherim. So then, why would the Acherim say that the Balabas is chayiv the kofar? After all, they entered into his private property. He has his right to keep his animals over there. And if the animals go and attack somebody in the area where they're allowed to be, so how do you hold the Baal of the animals to be chayiv in that situation? So if the Balabas was easily available elsewhere in the town, so then, yeah, these people entered into his private property. Why would the Acherim say that he's chayiv? And if you're going to tell me, either Shriach Ba'ayis, if the Balabas is not available in town, he's only found in his house, in his property, so in my time in Tanakam, so why would Tanakam say that the workers don't have the right to go and claim their wages? And therefore, the owner of the vicious dog or the shar that did the negicha over here should be chayiv to pay the kofar. So what's going on? So it says, Lo Tzricha, we're dealing here, Begavra de Shriach Velo Shriach. We're dealing in a case where he's somewhat present, but he's not fully present. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Vikari Abava, they went to knock on his door before they entered into his property. The Amalhu in, and he said, yes. Now, what does that yes mean? So, Ma'ar Savar, the Acherim's opinion is that when the guy said in, so Ma'ar Savar, the Acherim say in, when the owner said in, the Balabas said in, so it meant, Ul, go in, Ta Mashma, come on inside and I will pay you. So they came inside with permission, and therefore the owner is going to be chayav if his shor or his kelev went and killed him. He would have to pay the kofar. However, the opinion of Tanakami is, Ma'ar Savar, when he said in, it meant, Kum Aduchtoch, stand over there and I'll come out to you, Mashma. And therefore, if they entered, it was without permission, and therefore he wouldn't be chayav the kofar. So that's how you explain the machlokes over here between Tanakam and the Acherim. We have a brice in support of this. Tanya, Kiman de Omar, in. We have a brice in support of the opinion that says, when the Balabas says, in, yes, I'm here, it means, Kum aduchtoch mashma. It means, like the Tanakama said, stay outside, I will come out to you. Because the brice says, the Tanya, Poel, shenichnos lidboas choro mi balabais. If you have a pole that comes into the house to go and request his wages from the Balabas. And then Unagochu Shorush Balabais or Nishochu Kabu, and then either the shor gores him or his dog bites him. So he kills him, Nebuch Rahmanu Litzan, Potter, Alf Bishanichlas Bashus. So he's Potter in this situation, even though he entered with the Shus. So what does it mean he entered with the Shus? Am I Potter? Why should it be Potter for having to go and pay in this situation? Mustn't it be? El alav, the kari abava, he knocked on the door, for amar le, and the Baal HaBos said, in, yes, which means, don't come inside, I will come out to you. Ushma minot, we see from here, in, the word in, yes, means, kuma dokta, you stay over there, mashma, and I will come out to you. And therefore, you didn't have permission to come inside, and that's why the Braise says you're potter. The Braise is consistent with the Tanakhama's opinion that says, in means kuma dokta, it means yes, stay outside, I'm coming out to you, don't come into my property. And therefore, if my shor or my dog kills you, Rachmana Litzlan, I'm going to be potter from the kofer. Okay, next Mishnah. Shnei Shvarim Tamim. Here we have two ox that gore each other. One does more damage than the other, but they're both shor tam. They're both each a tam. They've never gored before. Shechavu Zevazet. They each do damage to the other. Now, Mishalim B'mosar Chatzi Nezik. Whichever one did more damage to the other one. So one did $100 worth of damage. The other did $50 worth of damage. So the total bottom line is that there's a $50 damage that one is going to have to pay. The one that did more damage is going to have to pay the other. So he pays Chatzi Nezik of the $50. Mishalim B'mosar Chatzi Nezik. So again, the principle that the Mishnah is outlining over here is that you calculate out the total amount of damage that's done. So one guy did $100 worth of damage, the other guy did $50 worth of damage. So you deduct the $50 from the $100 because that negates it, so to say. Reuven is going to have to pay Shimon $100 in damages, and Shimon has to pay Reuven $50 in damages, so the total that they have to pay each other is only $50. And since it's Chatzi Nezik, then you only pay $25. So Mishalmim B'mosar, the excess amount of the damage, you pay Chatzi Nezik because they're both Shvarim Tamim. Now, what happens if Shnei Muadim, if they both were Shor Muad, in that situation, Mishalim and B'motzer, Nezik Shalim, in my case, well, one did $100 damage, and one did $50 worth of damage to the other one, so then you deduct the 50 from the 100, you're left with 50, and you pay the entire 50, Mishalim and B'motzer, Nezik Shalim, you pay Nezik Shalim. What happens if Echot Tam V'Echot Muad? One of them was a Tam and one was a Muad. So again, we calculate the damage, the total damage that was done. You subtract the smaller damage from the larger damage. So let's say the Muad had done more damage. So Muad B'Tam, let's say the Muad did $100 worth of damage, and the Tam did $50 worth of damage. So the total of the damage is one did 100, one did 50. So the total damage is only 50, and the Muad did it. So Muad B'Tam, if the Muad did the 100 and the Tam did the 50, so Mishalim B'Mosar Nezik Shalim. So the owner of the Muad is going to have to pay the entire $50 that was the excess damage between the two. If it was the other way around, Tam the Muad, if the Tam did the $100 worth of damage, the Muad only did $50 worth of damage. So then the owner of the Tam is going to have to pay the 50 left over, but he only has to pay half of it. So Mishalim B'Mosar, he pays that excess $50. Chatzi Nezik, he only pays half of it, so he only has to pay $25. Mishnah continues and tells us, the same exact halacha applies if two people are the Muad Li'olam, if two people do damage to each other. Now, the Mefarshim point out, in this situation, and even in the previous situations, there was no clear instigator over here. If one person or one animal clearly was instigating things and the other one was, so to say, fighting back in self-defense, so then these dinim wouldn't apply. So let's keep it nice and simple here that there was no instigator over here. The damage was caused simultaneously by both of them for whatever the situation was. So both by the animals to the animals or the person to the person, these same principles apply. The Mishnah continues and says, what happens if a man and an animal go and damage each other? Adam b'muad, u'muad b'adam. Again, Adam is always considered muad. So if a man goes and damages this ox, and this ox is a shor muad, and the ox damages the man. So again, we do the same calculation. So let's say the man did $100 worth of damage, the ox did $50 worth of damage, so the total damage that's going to have to be paid is 50. So if it's the man that did more damage to the ox, so Mishalim b'mosar Nezik Shalim, the man would have to pay. If it was the ox that did more damage to the man, the owner of the ox would have to pay the $50. What happens if it was Adam b'tam, b'tam b'adam? If you had a man going and damaging a shor tam, or the shor tam and the shor tam damage the man, so again, you do the calculations. If the one did $100 worth of damage, the other did $50 worth of damage, so let's say it was Adam b'tam, the man did $100 worth of damage, the tam did only $50 worth of damages, so the total remainder is $50, so Mishalim b'motzer, Nezik Shalim, the man has to pay like a muad, the man is Adam muad li'olam, so the man will have to pay $50 to the owner of the shor, of the shor tam. It was the other way around, it was tam b'adam, so the shor tam did $100 worth of damage, the man did $50 worth of damage, so the total damages that have to be paid is $50, so the tam b'adam, Mishalim b'motzer, Chatzi Nezik, he'll have to pay half of that $50, he'll have to pay $25. Now, in this situation, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Kiva, Omer, in this situation, Av tam shechol b'yodim, even though it's a tam, but it damaged the man, will divide the subsukim, b'shalim b'moser nezik sholem. Rabbi Kiva says that you pay the full $50, you don't pay chatzi nezik in this situation, but you pay the full $50. Why is that? The Gemara will now explain based upon psukim. Tanur Rabban, we start the Gemara with the following braisa. The pasuk tells us, the full pasuk is Oven Yigach Ovas Yigach. This was after it already mentioned about Kigach Shor is Ish Ovas Yishor. Then it tells us Oven Yigach Ovas Yigach. If the shor did damage to a boy or a girl, so then Kamishpon has that. The same rules apply. Yoslo, you shall do to the owner of the shor. Now this pasuk Kamishpon has that Yoslo is darshan in the following ways: Kamishpon Shor. Bishor kach mishpat shor b'yodim. That's come to teach us the din of our Mishnah. That just like the din of a shor damaging another shor, as we discussed in our Mishnah, apply, so too the same dinim apply if a shor attacks an adam and adam attacks a shor. Ma shor bishor, just like when one shor attacks another shor, the tam mishalim chatzin nezik umur nezik shalim. You go do the calculation, and let's say it's just straightforward that the tam just damages the muad or the muad just damages the tam. So then you just calculate it straight out. So tam mishalim chatzin nezik umur nezik shalim. So the tam has to pay chatzin nezik what the final damage is. And the nisha, the tam pays from itself, and the muad pays the nezek shalom, and the muad will pay min ha'aliyah. Now, af shor be'adam. So this kamishpat hazeh yoselo, we darshan that the same rules apply when a shor and an adam do damage to each other. If it was a short time that damaged the human being, so tam mishalim chatzin nezek, like the Tanakam of a Mishnah, then there's only the chatzin nezek, even though it's a tam damaging a human being, it's still a tam, and you only be chatzin nezek according to the Tanakama, the muad nezek shalom. If it's a muad, you pay nezek shalom. That was the opinion of the Tanakama, not Mishnah, and the same in this Braisa. And along comes Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa, just like he did in the Mishnah, and he says, no, the words kamishpat has there means that you only go on the last thing was said in the series of psukim. The previous pasuk was talking about imshor nagahu mitmo shulsham v'hu abivolov v'lo yishmerenu. So in the previous pasuk, the what we call the tachton, so it talked about a shor muad. In the pasuk before that, it talked about a shor tam. The situation was that a shor had not yet killed previously. So if it hadn't yet gored several times, it's a short time. And therefore, in that situation, that was the Elyon, the earlier pasuk, you would only pay chatzin nezik. So Rabbi Kiva says, when we say kamishpat hazeh, it means only on the tachton, means the last pasuk that dealt with a short muad, and not the previous pasuk that dealt with a short time. So therefore, when a short time goes and attacks a person, oven yigach uvas yigach, kamishpat hazeh, like the last pasuk, the short muad, the din applies to a time against a human being. Ah, I might have said then, Yochum Shalmin Aliyah. Then I might have said that we follow the rules of Shor Muad all the way through, and that this Shor Tam not only pays Nezek Shalim, but it also pays Minha Aliyah, in Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmi Yishalmin, as opposed to just paying from the goof of the Shor Tam. I might have thought that that didn't apply here as well. That's why it says, Tamud Omar, Yosel Lo, this you shall do in this situation, Migufo Mishalim, Bino Mishalim, Minha Aliyah. Yes, hello, you should do to it, meaning from its guf, and it only has the din of a shamuad in terms of the total damages, but not a din of min metav sodeh, metav kam yishalim, but no, it means yishalim lo, mi gufo. That's Rabbi Akiva's drush over here to tell us the dinim of a short time that is minageach to a odom. New Rabbi Akiva explained the psukim very well. Kamishpat hazeh yoselo. He explained it very well. What do the chachamim do with this seemingly extra words? Rabbanan zeh kamishpat hazeh lomali. What does that have to say? Kamishpat hazeh. If it goes on the elyon as well, if it tells us that we follow the same dinim, if it's a short time, if it's a short muad, so then you only pay chatzin nezik. If it's a short time, so then why do you need kamishpat hazeh? So the chachamim would say lepotro me arba dvarim. This comes to teach us that there is no chiv of the arba dvarim. The previous psukim, we're talking about a shor versus a shor. So there's only nezik. There is no tsar ripu sheves and certainly not boshes. So it's coming to say, kamishpat hazeh, that in this situation where a shor goes and damages a person, there's only nezik, but you don't have tsar ripu sheves and boshes. No, what does Rabbi Kiva do to learn that din out? Rabbi Kiva, lepotra mi'arba dvarim minolei, how does Rabbi Kiva know that you only pay for the damages of Nezek and not for Tzari Pusheves and Boshes? So Rabbi Kiva learns it out, Nafkalei, because the Pasuk tells us elsewhere, Mi v'ish ki yitein mum ba'amiso. If a man goes and does damage to his friend, so the Pasuk says, Kasher osa ken yoselo. And that teaches us, Ish ba'amiso, v'lo shor ba'amiso. So you should do over here only with a person doing the damages other the arba dvarim, but not with a shor. So Rabbi Akiva has another pasuk. No, now that Rabbi Akiva has another pasuk, Rabbanan, why don't they use that other pasuk to teach us that it only applies with nezek and you don't have tsari, pushevas, and boshes? Why didn't he come ishvat as that? So the Gemara says, no, if you only had one pasuk, you wouldn't know all the arba dvarim don't apply. Imeahi, if you only had the pasuk, the Rabbi Akiva using ish ba'miso, v'lo shor ba'miso, if you only had that pasuk, you know what I would have said? Imiyahi, ha'damina tsar l'chude. I would have only excluded tsar, because tsar is not an actual deterioration, a diminution in the value of the person. Yes, tsar is painful, but it didn't actually cost any money. And Tosus points out the same thing would apply for boshes as well. There is no actual loss of deterioration. So if the pasuk says, ish kiten mum ba'miso, I would have said, ish ba'miso, yes, only a man has to go and pay for tsar and boshes, but an animal would never have to pay below shor b'miso for tsar and boshes. However, avaripo v'shevis, which are real financial losses, there's doctor bills. That's a real financial penalty that needs to be reclaimed. V'shevis and the unemployment, the guy's not working, that's a real financial loss to the person, as opposed to tsar and boshes. So, emolite lo, I would have said in that situation, if you only had the pasuk, ish kitein mum b'miso, then it would only tell me that a man only pays for tsar, ripo, shevis, and boshes, but an ox doesn't have to pay for tsar and boshes, but would still have to pay for ripoy and shevis, because those are real losses. Kamashulan, that's why you need kamashulan as that, according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Akiva obviously doesn't learn that way. He says, no, you learn out ish yitein mum b'miso, ish b'miso for all four, the lo shor b'miso for all four. Okay, next Mishnah. Shor shove mona. Now we get some actual numbers here. A shor that is worth a mona. Shenogach shor shove masayim. Goes and gores an ox that's worth 200. Now, the ein hanavei lo yofiklum. The shor that's worth 100 killed the shor that's worth 200. And the shor that's worth 200 has no value in the carcass. The animal is so gored so badly that the hide's not worth anything. It's not even worth dog meat. It already spoiled. Whatever the situation may be, the nevela is not worth anything. So there was $200 worth of damage that was done by the shor that was worth 100. And the shor is a shor tam, no tel es a shor. So the nizak, the one who was damaged, he lost his $200 shor. So he's entitled to the chatzi nezek from the goof of the shor tam. So he takes the entire shor tam, no tel es hashor. Very simple, very straightforward. Now, the din over here would be that he is entitled to go take the shor. At what point does he get the, so to say, the title to this shor? So Masnis and Mani, whose opinion does our Mishnah go in accord with? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, it goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the following machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, as we learned in the following Braisa, it tells us, Yusham Hashor Bevestin, Divri Rabbi Shmuel. Rishmol says, yes, the person who was the Nizak is entitled to get the entire Shor Tam, in our case in the Mishnah, because it was worth 100, and that was the Chatzi Nezik of the 200, but he has to go to Bastin, and Bastin has to declare, yes, this Shor Tam, the Mazik, now belongs to you, the Nizak. Divri Rishmol. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Huchlat Hashor. Rashi explains that Huchlat Hashor means Hashor Atzmo Yikach. The Nizak has the right to go and take this Shor Mazik. And it is his from that moment. He doesn't have to wait till Bastin declares that it's his. It belongs to him immediately after the Nezik is done. Now, there's a fundamental difference over here between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, but my kamifli, what are they arguing about? So Rabbi Shmuel Savar, that Baal Chov Hu, that the Nizak is considered like a Baal Chov to the Mazik, and the Mazik owes him money, the Zuzi who demasically. And in fact, he owes him $100, which the din is that he can go and collect from the Shor Tam. But it's a debt that is owed. And only when Basin declares the debt that needs to be paid does the Nizak have the right to go and take the Shor Tam. Now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Sabra, no. Shutveninu, they immediately become partners in this Shor Mazik. And therefore, if in fact it's only worth 100, then he's entitled to the entire partnership. If it was worth 200, so then he would be entitled to 100 of it, and the Mazik would still retain 100 of it. So it was a 200 Shor Tam that gored another ox that was worth 200, so then he would only be entitled to 100, so the Nizak would be a partner with the Mazik, 100-100. However, since it's only worth 100, the Shor Tam, so he's a partner in it, but he has 100% share in the partnership, and the Mazik has zero, and therefore belongs immediately to the Nizak. And v'komivli b'haikra, the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is based upon the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Umachru es hasharachai v'chatzu es kaspo." They have to go and sell the ox, and they divide up the value of the ox between the two people. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Savar lebeidina kominsar rachmana. The Torah is telling us in this situation where the 200 ox, gored a 200 ox, totally destroyed it, so they have to go, and it's a short time, they divide up this 200 ox, and 100 goes to the mazik, 100 goes to the nizak. That's Beis Din's responsibility. Rabbi Shmuel says, Savar lebeidina kominsar rachmana. The Pasuk is telling the Beis Din, go and sell the ox, and you divide up the value of that shor, 100 to the mazik, 100 to the nizak. Which Rabbi Kiva says, no, Rabbi Kiva Savar lenizak umazik mitzar lu rachmana. The Torah is telling them, you now are partners over here. Go and sell this shor because the nizak has a 50% share in this shor. He's entitled to $100 of this shor tam, and the mazik is allowed to retain $100. And the Torah is speaking that this occurs right away and not through the powers of Beis Din. So the machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is, at what point does the nizak own his share in the shor tam? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's only after the Beis Din paskins it. According to Rabbi Akiva, it occurs instantly that the nizak becomes a partner with the owner of the shor tam, with the mazik. Now, what's the nafkamina? Bottom line is, they both say the same din, so it might be nayu. So the Gemara says the following nafkamina. The Mefarshim will point out there are many other nafkaminas as well. So it might be nayu. What's the practical difference between whether you say that Beis Din divides it up or Rabbi Akiva? He says that they considered already partners from the moment of the nezek. The nafkamina would be ikdishu nizak ikabinayu. If the nizak was makdish, let's say it was worth only 100. So he says, I'm donating this to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm makdish this. So is it considered hektish or not? According to Rabbi Kiva, it would be considered hektish. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's only when Beis Din goes and says that now it belongs to the Nitzach that would he have the right to be makdish it. Until now, he wouldn't have the right to be makdish it until Beis Din paskin. So that would be the nafkamina. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's hektish. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it would not be hektish. By me, Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi asked Rav Nachman the following shaila. Mecharo mazik. If the mazik went and sold the animal before the Beis Din paskin. So, Lu Rabbi Yishmol Mao. What would be the din according to Rabbi Yishmol? Do we say, Kivan, the Omer Rabbi Yishmol, Baal Chov, who? Do we say that according to Rabbi Yishmol, it's just a chov that he now owes the nizak, and Beis Din has to paskin, yes, you have to pay that chov. V'zuzehu the mazik, and therefore, it's going to be $100. In our case, where it was worth $100, and the damage that it did was $200, so chatzi nezek is worth the entire amount of the shor. So in this situation, it's $100 that he owes him, which would be able to be claimed from the shor itself. And therefore, machor, if he sold it, okay, so I sold it, it's no longer mine at the time that Beis Din holds it, so I owe him $100. Or do we say no? Well, Dilma, when we turn to Lamed Gimel, when we base, do we say no? Kivan de Mishubad lay. It is in fact a shibud on this shore, Lenizak, that he owes this to the Nizak, Lav Kol Kamina. He doesn't have the right to go sell it because he's selling something that is lien. And therefore, the Nizak would have the right to go and take it from the person that it was sold to and not just demand $100 from the Mazik. So that's the question that Rava asked to Rav Nachman. Boy, minei Rava mi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Amalei, eino mocher. He says, no, it's not able to be sold because it's meshubad to the nizak. So Rava says, really? Vatanya mecharo mocher. But there's a brisa that says, in fact, the sale is a good sale. Now, what does Rav Nachman say to that? So Rav Nachman says, choser v'goveyu. It means that, yes, the mazik had the right to sell it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it still hasn't yet been adjudicated, but as soon as it's adjudicated, so then the Nizak has the right to go take it like it was a leaned property. So Rava says, really? So then, if this is really true, so then it's not really sold. So what are you telling me that it was sold in this situation? So the Gemara says, we're telling you here that it was sold in regards to Lirija, that if this person that it was sold to, Levi, this third party, Reuven's ox damaged Shimon's ox, and then Reuven, before it was adjudicated, sold this ox to Levi. So, yes, Shimon has the right to go take that ox back from Levi, but if Levi plowed with it, Lirija, he plowed with it, he doesn't have to go and pay the Shimon, he doesn't have to pay the Nizak for the benefit that he got from plowing the animal. It's not yet considered his, according to Rabbi Akiva. So, this ox is already considered Shimon, so Levi would have to go pay a rental fee for using the ox for plowing. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't yet belong to Shimon, so if Levi got benefit from plowing Lirija, so then that sale was valid in regards to the plowing. Yes, Levi could go would have to go and give back the ox to Shimon, but the plowing benefit that Levi got, he wouldn't have to pay for. The Gemara says, really? If this is so, then you're telling me that there's a lien on metaltalin? Shmami no. Rashi says this is a lashon of bismia. Really? Are you telling me that then lova umocher it should be? Not umocher. Love, that's what the Bach changes it around to. Lova, if you borrowed money, and then umochar, and then you sold an item that you had of metaltalin, does Beis Din have the right to be govin lo mehem, to go and take it? No, we only have a din of lien on karka, not on metaltalin. So therefore, how can you tell me that this ox can be taken back as a lien on the $100 worth of damage? If you're telling me Rabbi Shmuel says it's a Baal Chov, so then this is a regular case of somebody lending something and then he sold his metaltalin. You can't go to the third party that he sold it to and get back metaltalin. You can only do that for karka. So Shmuel says, no, this case is different. Even the din of that you can't be govet from leaned metaltalin, so there is no such thing as lean metaltli. This case is different because shiny hossam, the chiman de aso apotiki dome, because this is as if you made it into an apotiki. Po te koi, from this property, you will go and be able to go collect your debt. So therefore, that's different than regular sta metaltli. For a question, says, what are you talking about? For a rova, that also ado apotiki, if you made your evid an apotiki, so an evid has the din of karka in certain ways, and therefore, umecharo, if you sold this evid, you establish as an apotheke for something, so then Balchov govin mena, because it's like karka, and there can be a lien on this evid, because you can make an evid into apotheke. But Rav said, shoru apotheke umuchoru ein Balchov govin mena. You can't make a shor into an apotheke. A shor is metaltali, and metaltali cannot be leaned. So how can you tell me over here that you made the shor into an apotheke? It wouldn't work. Someone says, no. It does work in this situation. Why is that? Because this is a unique situation. Why does it work for an Eved? Why can you make an Eved apotheke? It's not because it's really an Eved, it's like karka. Eved, my time out, why is an Eved capable of being an apotheke? Because mishum de islay kola. Because if you make an Eved into apotheke, it's going to be public knowledge. And it has like a title to it. And therefore, everybody knows that this Eved was an apotheke for that loan. And therefore, when you purchase this evid, you knew that it was a leaned evid, so to say, and therefore it could be taken back from you if the guy can't pay back his loan. And you did, you took that risk. So too, Hainami, with this shor that had gored another shor, it has a coal to it. Kivan dinogach, since this was a shor that damaged another shor, it's going to have a voice to it. It's going to be public knowledge. Kola islay. And once kola islay, so then the Torah, the nachal correlate, it's known as this Shor Shenagach, it's known as a Nachon, so it is if also there's a lien capable of being done on it when you make it into an you're making it as if it's an apotheke, that like the Eved can be an apotheke, so too this Shor Nagach can be an apotheke, as opposed to any other Shor that doesn't have the coal to it, cannot be an apotheke. So therefore, this doesn't contradict the statement that Rava brought down. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava. Rav Tachlifa, who came from Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says Bar Marava doesn't mean his father's name was Marava. It means Eretz Yisrael Haba. He came from Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Tachlifa from Eretz Yisrael said the following Braisa, Kamei de Rabbi Yavo, in front of Rabbi Yavo. And he said, the Braisa says, Mechoro Ein Mocher, if the person who owned the Mazik, who owned this Shor Mazik, he went and sold it, the din is that it's not sold. Hikdisho Muktosh, but if he was Maktishit, then it is Muktosh. Now this is problematic because this doesn't seem to go like Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Akiva. Mechoroman, who sold this under what circumstances? If you're telling me Ilema the Mazik was the one that sold this shor, Mechoro means the Mazik sold it and Ain Machor and it's not considered sold, so then Mani. So then whose opinion is this? If it's Rabbi Akiva he, so if you're telling me it's Rabbi Akiva, because he already holds that it belongs to the Nizak, the Omar Huchlat Ashor, it's already a partnership, and if it's only worth $100, in our case, it totally belongs to Nizak, that's why the Masik can't go and sell it. So then, wait a second, Vikdisho Mukdosh Aswan Rabbi Shmuel. But then how could the Masik have go and be Maktishit? That would be like the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva would say, no, the Masik can't go and sell it, it can't go and be Maktishit. So the Mocher part, that seems to go like Rabbi Akiva. But the Maktish part, that seems to go like Rabbi Yishmael. So it's internally contradictory. How could the Mecharo be referring to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Eina Mocher, and the Maktish, Mukdosh, that refers to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael? So that can't be. Because if you're telling me v'hikdish mukdash ason Rabbi Yishmael d'amar Yushar Ashur b'veist it, that says that it's only becoming the nizak when based in paskins it. So the Mishnah, if you're learning it, that it's the mazik that said mecharo and hikdisho, so it can't be because it'd be internally contradictory. The ratio would be Rabbi Akiva, mechar would be Rabbi Akiva, and hikdish would be Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, must be that the nizak does it. El nizak, you have the same problem. Mecharo, when it says mecharo ain't a mechar, whose opinion is that? Mani. That now must be the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, because according to you, the Nizak doesn't own it yet. It belongs totally to the Mazik until Basin adjudicates it. But then the Hikdisho, Mukdash, that goes according to Rabbi Akiva. It says it belongs to the Nizak, so the Rabbi Akiva. So we're stuck here. If you learn it, it's the Mazik, you still have an internal split over here. If you learn it's the Nizak, you have an internal split. The two are mutually contradictory. You say that the Mechira doesn't take effect, but the Hekdish does take effect. Someone says, no, it does make sense. It can all be one Tana. Li'olam mazik v'divrei kol. It actually is saying that the mazik was the one that sold it. The mazik was the one that was makdish it. And it's not internally contradictory to say that the mechira is not a mechira, but the hekdish is a good hekdish. And it goes according to everybody. How is that? Li'olam mazik v'divrei kol. Because mecharo eino machor, when you're saying that he sold it, it's not considered a valid sale. That even is according to Rabbi Yishmael. The mazik, according to Rabbi Akiva, it belongs to the Nizak already. So according to Rabbi Akiva, certainly, Mecharo ain't a Mecharo. But even, I feel Rabbi Shmuel, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, says it still belongs to the Mazik, when he sells it, it's not a valid sale, because D'ho Mishabdo Leila Nizak. Because as we pointed out, this is Meshubat to the Nizak, and therefore the sale's not a valid sale, and it doesn't really belong to Levi, the third party, because the Nizak has the right to go and take it from the third party, and therefore it's not a full sale. Oh, so that goes according to everybody, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And the second part, Hikdisho Mukdash, that goes Afilu Rabbi Akiva. Going to Rabbi Shmuel, of course, the Mazik has the right to be Makdashit. It belongs to him. It hasn't yet been adjudicated by Beis Din. So, of course, he'd be Makdashit. So, Rabbi Shmuel certainly says Hikdisho Mukdash. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, it belongs to the Nizak, he would say that the Hekdish is considered a valid Hekdish to a certain extent, as we'll see, when the Mazik is Makdashit. Why is that? Because Mishum the Rabbi Avo, because of the Shita of Rabbi Avo. What is that Shita? The Amar Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo had said that we never let something leave Hekdish without being redeemed, because people mistakenly think that you can take something from Hekdish then. So even if something was Mukdash not correctly, Gizeira, Shema Yomru, Hekdish, Yotze, Bilo Pidjon, people will say if the Mazik was Makdashit, oh, Hekdish can be taken back without being redeemed. Oh, it was really a valid Hekdish, but then we took it back to give it to the Nizak without having to redeem it. So even according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's not a valid Hekdish because it is principle of Rabbi Yavo, that we never go and take something back from Hekdish without redeeming it. Now, it doesn't have to be for the full redemption price. It can be just for Shavu Pruta. People will understand, yes, it needs to be redeemed in some way, and therefore they will understand that the halacha is, in this situation, that you have to go and pay something. So even according to Rabbi Akiva, it has a certain element of Hikdisho Mukdash. Not a real Hekdish, because it doesn't really belong to the Mazik, according to Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, because of Rabbi Avo's principle, Kizeru Shem Yomu Hekdish, Yosef Bilo Pidjon, it will have some status of being Hekdish, and therefore, this Braisa is the Divrei HaKol. Okay. Talking about another Braisa, Shortam Shehizik, have a short time that did damage. Anshelo Omer B'din, and it hasn't yet gone to the din, hasn't been adjudicated, so this goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, Mechoro Mochor, the sale of the Mazik is a valid sale, Hikdisho Mukdash, the Hekdish that the Mazik did is a valid Hekdish. And Shechoto, if he went and shechted it, or Nesonim B'matana to somebody else, in all of these situations, Masha Asa Asui, in all of these situations, the Mechira is a good Mechira, the Hekdish is a good Hekdish, the Shechita is a valid Shechita, and the matana that he gave it away is a valid matana because it hasn't yet been adjudicated in the Beis Din, and therefore it belongs totally to the mazik, and he can do with it at this point, so whatever he wants. However, Mishamar Bedin, once the Beis Din is paskin, no, this short time now belongs to the nizak, so then if the mazik went and sells it, Necharo Eino Mochor, no longer is it considered a valid sale. No longer belongs to the mazik, belongs to the nizak. And Hikdisho Eino Mukdash, if he's makdash it, it's not considered Hekdish. Again, forgetting the principle of Rabbi Avod, maybe you'd have to purchase it back for a Shavu Pruta. So that's not what we're talking about. It's certainly not a valid, real Hekdish. Hikdisho Eino Mukdash. And Shechato in a son of the Matana, loss of Loklum. And if he shafted it, or he gave it away as a Matana, it's invalid. It's as if the mazik did nothing over here. It belongs to the nizak. Now, Kadu Balei Chovos Vigbiu, if this mazik had a Baal Chov. So the Baal Chov went and grabbed this property. Kadmu Baal Chov was big biu. They went and grabbed this short time. So Bein Chov Ad Shelo Hizik. Whether the debt was there prior to the Hezek, for the shore was mazik. Bein hizik, whether the shore was mazik first, and then the debt came, ad shelo chov, in this situation, lo asu v'lo klum, the Baal Chov had no right to go and take this, lefi she'ein mishtalin ela migufo, because this short time, the debt comes from its body. So the debt to the nizak takes priority over any other Baal Chov. Now, Mu'ah Chihizik, if this was a shor Mu'ah that did the damage, so here, Bein Sh'amar Bedin, Bein Sh'lo'amar Bedin, here, Rabbi Shmuel would say, even if it hadn't yet gone into judgment, there was no adjudication here, Mechor or Mocher, here, you're not paying the guf of the shor tam, so it's not a partnership according to anybody. So, Mechor or Mocher, if the mazik went and sold the shor tam, it's a valid sale. Hikdish Muktish, a perfectly valid hektish. And Shechatu Nesonim B'matona, Masha Asa Asui, and if he went and shefted it or he gave it as a matona, what he did is a perfectly valid gift. And Kadu Baal Chov Osvik Biyu. And if the Baal Chov of the mazik went and took this shor muad, regardless of Bein Chov Ashlo Hizik, Bein Hizik Ashlo Chov, regardless of which one came first, whether the Baal Chov took place before the damage of the Shor, or the damage took place before the Chov, Masha Asa Asui. In this situation, it's perfectly valid for them to have taken it, because the Fishin Mishtalim, Elman Aliyah, because you pay Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamo, has nothing to do with that Shor itself, the Shor Mu'ad. You don't pay Min HaGuf of the Shor, you pay Min Aliyah. So this is a regular type of a debt, and it isn't taken from the Guf of the Shor. Now, that's a long price. Now we'll go dissect it. Each part we'll go now and dissect. Omer Mar. First part we said is Mechor or Mocher, that this is going to be considered a valid sale. So that means Lirija, even though it's a short time, and ultimately the Nizak will be able to get it, but when it was sold to Levi in the meanwhile, and Levi plowed with it, so he doesn't have to go pay the Nizak back for the plowing that he did with the Shor. In other words, Mechor or Mocher, until, of course, it is adjudicated, and then the Nizak has the right to go and take that Shor itself. And likewise, Hikdisho Mukdash, we said that if the Mazik was Makdash, it is considered a valid Hekdish, so even according to the fact that it could be considered the Nizak, is Mishum the Rabbi Avo. We say that it is something that the Nizak has right to get it back. And when we say it was a valid Hekdish, it was only in regards to the principle that Rabbi Avoha taught, that you have to go and redeem it back from Hekdish. Hekdish could be redeemed, allowed to be redeemed for less than its true value, because it really does belong to the Nizak. Okay. Then we had said, Shechato Nesonim B'matana, if you either shechted or gave it away as a matana, Masha Asa Osui, it would be considered a valid gift, or be a valid considered shechita. Now, Bishlom Nesonim B'matana, Masha Asa Osui, since the mazik has the right to go and give it away, so then it is considered his still, so he gave it away, that's it, and you'll have to go and collect from it, but even though it was a matana, he'll be able to go and collect from it. Because here we're dealing again, Lirija, so the person who got his matana will have to give it back, because you go and collect from the short time itself, but for the plowing that he benefited from it, he won't have to go pay the nizak. But El Shechato, how is there anything over here, Masha Asa Asui, Leisei, V'lishtalem Mibisare? So it's shechted, but it's right there. It is the exact same item. So what do you mean, Masha Asa Asui? Of course it's shechted, but that meat now goes to pay to the nizak. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us, if the short time is chai, en li'alechai. So that means I only give it to the nizak if it's alive. How do we know, shechatu minayim, that the nizak gets it even if he shechted it? Because Talmud Loma, umecharu es ashar, hachai v'chatsu es kaspo. Mikol makom, that implies that you go and give it, whether it's alive or whether it's shechted. So what does it mean over here, Masha Asa Asui? Nothing was done to it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shizvi, it means Lo Nitzucho El Lebchas Shechita. If somehow it was worth less now that you shechted it, so then the mazik doesn't have to go and pay any additional amount. Let's say when it was not shechted, it was worth 100. But now that it's shechted, it's only worth 95, for example. So he doesn't have to go make up the additional $5 to the nizak. That's what it means, Masha Asa Asui. Even though it depreciated a little bit once it shechted, nevertheless, the nizak can't go back to the mazik and say, hey, it was worth 100 beforehand, and now it's only worth 95. You got to give me the additional $5. Amar Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, so Samaris, this din comes to teach us, Hamazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro Potter. Even though when he shechted it, he damaged the lien on it, nevertheless, Potter. You aren't considered chayev in a beis din for damaging a lien. So if there was, for example, property that was leaned and you damaged that property, it was worth $1,000 beforehand, and now it's only worth $500 because you didn't take care of the property. So even though you damaged that lien, you don't owe anything to that guy. So even though he was owed $1,000 and that property would have been worth $1,000, that's what he was counting on, and you depreciated it to be only worth $500, you were masik his lien, you can't go collect that in Beis Din. Hamasik shibud shel chavero potter. It says pshita, obviously, this is a grama, and grama benizokin is potter. You know, b'dinei adam, that if you indirectly cause a loss to somebody else, grubba b'nizokin, it's potter based it. So pshita over here, that yes, you shechted this animal, you indirectly caused the nizak to have a loss, so of course you're potter. So the verse says, no. Mal de tema, if it wasn't for this statement that Rav Huna said, Rav Huna ben Rishu had said, Hamasik shibud shechaver potter, you know what I would have said? Hasibu diomalei lo chasartich v'lo midi. In the case of shechting the ox, in that situation, you could say, listen, I didn't do anything to you. All I did was remove the breath of this ox. All I took from you was the breath of this ox, which is nothing. Yeah, it was alive, now it's dead. All the differences between those two is the breath of the ox. So therefore, I'm not considered over here to be masik your shibud. But I will be alma l'chayiv. I might have said in any other situation. For example, in my case of I depreciated the property, I actually did something negative to the property, so I did something to it that's a real deterioration, maybe in that situation, I would say that the mazik shibud shechaveru is chayiv. Therefore, along comes Rav Huna to tell us, a mazik shibud shechaveru is potter. Kamash v'lan, it's a good chiddush that he's giving us. So Gemara says, no, that was already taught to us as well. Hanami Rabba Omra. Rabba already taught us this. Now, Rabba is an Amora, so what would be the big deal if Rav Huna ben Rishua, another Amora, said the same din? So Rashi brings down a very important idea. Rabba Adam Choshev. Rabba is a great person. Umay Adam Choshev could go in Rabba, Rabba. If an Amora like Rav or Rabba says something, it has as if it was stated in a Mishnah or a Braisa, and as a result, we don't consider this to be something that is an Amora statement and that another Amora wouldn't make the same statement. No, another Amora could make the same statement, but not when it's said by a great person like Rabba. And therefore, the Amar Rabba, Rabba had said, Hasorev shtaros shulchaver potter. If you go and burn the shtaros of somebody else, you're not held liable. Now we can't collect with those shtaros, they're burned. This is called Hamazik Shibud shulchaver potter. So since Rabba already taught it to us, why is Rav Huna ben Rav Shua telling us the same thing? So one says, no, still need Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua. Because Ma'al D'Tema, if it wasn't for what Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua said, I would have said, in the case of the documents, Hasam, Hu D'Yomalei, Niyora B'Yalma, Klai Minoch. All I did was go and burn some paper for you. Okay, so I owe you a penny for the piece of paper, but not for the nezek that I caused you by destroying your document. However, Avol Hecha D'Chofar B'Boros Shichkin B'Aros L'Chayim. But if I actually dug pits or ditches or caves in your property, so then I would be chayiv if I was destroying this property. Masik shibulu shel chaveiro, so then I would be chayiv. I might have thought. Therefore, Kamash v'lan, Rav Huna ben Yeshua says no. Even in this situation where you're actually physically destroying the property by making boros shichlim aros, you would be potter. Ha kiman dechafa ba boros shichlim aros dami. And the case over here, we shechted the ox, so it's like he actually made over here boros shichinim oros, and therefore you would have thought maybe he would be chayiv. Therefore, kamash v'lan for kamar masha asa asui. Therefore, Rav Huna ben Yeshua is coming to teach us. Even in this situation, it is considered hamasik shibud shalvero is potter. Gemara continues and says, kadmu bali chovos v'igbiu. We said in the brisa that if the Bali Chovos came and they took the shor. So whether Bein Chov Achelo Hizik, Bein Hizik Achelo Chov, it didn't make any difference whether the damage came first or the debt came first. According to the first part of the Braisa, Lo Osov Lo Klum, Lefish Ein Meshalim El Megufa, because it belongs to the Nizak, and therefore he's entitled to go collect it from the Guf of the Shor Tam, and the Bali Chovos have to give it back. Now, Mor says, Bishloma Hizik Achelo Chov, we understand if the damage came first, so he's a prior. The Nizak is a prior claimant on the ox. So Bishlama, Hizik, Achalochav, and then the Nizak is ahead of the Balichov, ahead of Levi, who then took this in return for a debt that he gave after the damage was done. So Nizakin Kadmu. So the Nizak is a prior litigant, so to say, and therefore he's entitled to it. However, Avochov Ashlo Hizik, but if the Balchov came first before the damage, so then Balchov Kadmu. So why shouldn't the Balchov be entitled to go take it? And we turn to Lamed Aleph and Aleph. Furthermore, Ba'afilu Hizik Ashlo Chov, even in the situation where the damage occurred first and the Balchov came afterwards, so Balchov Kadmu. The bottom line is the Balchov took it. So let us learn from here. Shema mino, b'chol b'ucha shekadu v'gava, ma shekava lo kava. Is that then going to be the din? This is machlokas elsewhere. Are you going to tell us over here that the later b'chol doesn't have a right to go and take something? Is that we're going to learn out from here that that's ma shekava lo kava? Then we've answered the question that we had elsewhere. This machlokas. Shmuel says no. Li'olam ema loch ma shekava gava. In fact, what the b'chol took is normally allowed to take. The later b'chol is allowed to take it, and that man diyama could be correct. Why is this case different? Shiny Hossam. Here it's different with our case, with the ox. Even though the later Balchov took it, the Nizak gets to take it. It's different over here. The Omar Lay, Ilu Gabal Chava, Lomino Chava Govilay. If it was by you, if the ox had been taken by you as your Chov, and then it gored, wouldn't I be allowed to take it from you? Ilu Gabal Chava. If you had actually taken it, I would be allowed to go take it from you. So certainly, the High Torah, the Asker, me name is Talimna, because I'm entitled to go and take from this ox that did the damage. So it's the goof of this ox, wherever it is, whether it's by you or whether it's by the original Mazik. So I'm entitled to go and take it, and therefore, regardless of whether the damage came first or the Balchov came first, I'm entitled to go and take it because you pay from the goof of the ox. With this, we conclude today's share.